a lot of people sit there and say, oh, he's the guy that dissolves trauma. And I say, I don't dissolve trauma. I can't do that. I dissolve the energy or help you remove the energy that has been trapped because of the event that you would call traumatic. But if that leads you back to go back to the point of the woman I worked with, where you get to love yourself for the first time, and that is a crystallizing of your true essence, past the doing, past the having and into the being, that's a gift that most people never get to.
Welcome to the Sensuality Empowerment Show. I am your host, Sharon Hoffman. I have the absolute pleasure to use this platform as an opportunity to connect with guests from all over the world to discuss and share all my favorite topics related to love, sex, relationships, spirituality, and so much more. I want you to feel empowered, excited, and encouraged with the conversations I have, so nothing is off limits. Get yourself comfy and ready for another heartfelt or juicy episode. Hello, beautiful one. Welcome back to the show again. I have so missed connecting with you on this platform, and I know every month I commit to not leaving it so long between each episodes, but life does fill up quickly. However, today's episode is definitely worth your wait. I am so excited to bring you Jaguar, a man that came highly recommended to me, and after this interview, you will understand why. This conversation is a reminder that everything exists within, if only we got out of our way. The body is a subconscious mind, and JAG frees people from the tight constraints causing suffering, bringing the unconscious or subconscious into conscious so we can create space and freedom within. JAG is a man who helps and supports people who are suffering trauma, particularly sexual trauma. He helps people identify their core traumas and break the patterns that hold them back by dissolving the energy which has been trapped. He helps people to love themselves by removing what's in their way, the self-doubt, self-hatred, and victimization, so people can realize the true essence of what they are, which is love, and love is acceptance. You are going to love this conversation with JAG. He keeps things very real and offers some great insights, advice, and understanding of physics and vibration, especially around the experiences we keep attracting again and again until we break those patterns. Does that sound familiar? He talks about taking full responsibilities for your feelings so you can become powerful in every situation. So many great tools that he uses to address trauma and the released trapped emotions and energy, which he shares in this interview. So without further ado, here is a beautiful man himself. Hello, Jaguar.
How you doing?
Oh, so good. It's so lovely to connect with you like this.
Likewise. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, absolute pleasure. Yeah, I recently put the word out to my audience and to my good friends and said, look, if you know of anyone in Australia, I mean, a lot of my guests are in Australia, but also I have a lot of guests that come from overseas, but I'm like, any recommendations of people that you want to get on my show, just throw it my way. I want to hear about it. And one of my really close friends said, look, Sharon, you've got to get this guy on your show. I've just started to work with him. I've been following his work for a long time. Please get him on your show. So I started to look into the work that you did and followed you on social media and just kind of got a feel to some of the content that you were pumping out. And I was so impressed and I really resonated to a lot of the work that you were putting out there on social media. And I was like, there's no doubt I've got to get this guy on my show. So thank you so much.
Beautiful. Thank you for the beautiful compliment. It always means a lot when, you know, when people in the industry or people that are doing work and just showing up in the world authentically, really my work resonates with them. And so it means a lot to me to get that feedback and that acknowledgement. So I appreciate that. Thank you. And appreciate you, of course.
Yeah. Oh, you're most welcome. You are a holistic therapist specializing in emotional trauma. So something I'm really fascinated by myself, especially with what I have experienced, but also the work that I do too. There's definitely some resonance. But of course, I'm so curious to hear what guided you to this work and being of service to others.
So it's a good question. So we could go right back to when I was a kid, really. So I'll keep that little bit short for the sake of time because that's kind of all over my page. People can sort of find that story. But I grew up in a very abusive household. Mother was very vicious, very abusive. And so as I went through life, I thought what the answers were was what the ego was driving me to, which was money, status, you know, all cars, clothes, women, all that sort of stuff, right? And I thought that that was really the answer to fill the void that was really, really deep within me. But I didn't quite connect that it was a defense mechanism really to compensate for a deep sense of not feeling enough or not having any value in the world, hence the external. I was trying to derive value from the external to compensate for the lack of internal value. And so a number of years ago, because I had an investment company and we would do selling over the phone, my business, former business partner and I, and I started to unlock and uncover people's motivations, things like how they didn't trust, things about a fear of loss, a desire for gain, greed. And so I started to understand the human condition a little bit. And then what I went down a path a number of years ago, I realized that like it was quite, life can deliver you really beautiful moments of profound awareness. And I was driving out to buy, I had these handmade marble cubes done for my bedside tables, which cost me $8,000 each. This is how absurd it was, right? It's so absurd. And one of my closest friends, she turned to me and she said, "You're really unhappy, aren't you?" And I had it all. I lived in Darling Point, which was until Byron Bay, the most expensive suburb in Australia. Had the gold Rolex, all the designer clothes, everything. And I said to her, I said, "No, I'm not really unhappy. I'm fucking miserable." And I realized in that moment that I had to start moving towards something that was calling me. And so I ended up moving to New Zealand just to clear out my body from just the drugs and the partying and the hedonistic lifestyle. And I got up one day and I wrote out a list of different things of what do I spend most of my time researching, which is, or reading about or interested in, which is all around consciousness, reality, like why are we here and stuff like that. And another list was what am I good at, which was speaking. And another thing was, why do people come to me? And they're like, well, advice on things. And I just looked at this and I went, oh, I'm meant to be a therapist. And it was just a real simple moment of clarity because I'd chosen other things that I wanted to go down. But I was called to this. And as soon as I realized that, it crystallized and I went, this is the path that I'm supposed to go down. So that's kind of like a long, you know, 3 decades of history put into a few minutes just to sum that up quickly.
Yeah, beautiful. I love hearing how people, you know, come onto this path of being of service and the work that they do. And usually it's because of their own healing as well and some of the wounds and going, you know, doing that, their own personal healing journey. So, I'm always really fascinated to hear that.
Yeah, it's a fascinating path. You know, I think life is, it's like, you know, there's a beautiful saying by Carl Jung that he said, until you make the unconscious conscious, it'll direct your life and you'll call it fate.
Yeah.
And that's really sort of forms the foundation for my work where it's the unconscious is seeking expansion. That's the soul, I believe. Mm-hmm. And then we have the subconscious mind, which is the survival mind, which encases the unconscious. And we're meant to break apart all these deeper constraints of trapped emotion and narratives and beliefs and limitations. And once we start doing that, we start to have a more expanded version of life. Yeah. And so the beautiful part was this is the stuff that I started to go down to unravel this and unwind this, and which we'll get into in a little more detail, I think. But life will just keep bringing it to you. It's just physics. Like when you look at it, people say, oh, you're a therapist. I'm like, I'm more of a physicist than anything else. I deal in the world of vibration and physics. So, yeah, it's interesting.
How can someone identify and make the unconscious conscious?
So I work with it in four ways. So a lot of people ask, how do you break the pattern? Because there's a lot of generalization on social media. It's like, oh, just change your childhood patterns and change your life. Actually, I wrote that. And then someone was like, oh, it's all so easy. I'm like, but it is because I know how to do it. But for the most part, it's like, you know, people say deal with your trauma, deal with this. But if it's in a part of yourself that you can't see, it's very difficult to break the pattern at the pattern level because the pattern is a compensation to a survival mechanism that is sitting much deeper in the unconscious and the subconscious mind. And so if you don't know what you don't know, it's very difficult to be able to break things from the behavioral end, which is what our self-improvement industry is all based on. It's get up and write, I'm enough 4 million times over the next 5 years. But if you actually feel like you're enough, you're not going to need to write you're enough at all. You know, it's actually reinforcing the fact that you don't feel enough. And so it's kind of like getting up every day and writing, I'm a human being. Like, you just don't do that because you don't need to. And so I work into awareness. You know, we look at the awareness of what the mind or what is coming up. Then I look at the patterns. And then we look at the language that's associated with it. And then we get into the emotions and the feelings aspects. And so all of this is like a physics, because we're a physics-based environment, because we live in the world of physics. Everything's a vibration. And so what's going to happen, whatever frequency I'm resonating with, they're going to continue to show up. So as an example, someone that's got repressed guilt is going to bring in a lot of situations where they're accused of something or they're blamed for something, or they'll blame and accuse someone else, or they'll blame and accuse themselves. And the response to that is usually sabotage. And the deeper constraint, the language is, I'm always doing something wrong. And when we start to stack these and see the patterns, I start to move backwards in that and ask questions to help someone arrive at the thing that they think that they can't see, but it's been in front of them the whole fucking time. And then the awareness starts to break open, and then the release of the physics or the energy that's trapped there will start to, it'll start to release. And so on the other side of that will be people, you know, eczema will dissipate in a few days, or hair will start growing back, or hearing will come back online, or IBS will go away.
Yeah,
that's not really that interesting to me. That's just trapped energy. But it's when you start to get to reverse engineer it, we really have to analyze where am I sort of showing up? Where are things showing up again and again and again? Because that's life and spirit, the universe, whatever it is, that is giving you this gift in order to be able to break free from that destructive behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. Totally makes sense and resonates, yeah, very deeply with me.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that you, I would love to hear from you, you know, some of your processes or more so the modalities that you bring into the way that you treat or work with your clients. I'm sure you've done so much study, probably like me, it's more kind of life experiences and the people that we meet that have really impacted us and enabled us to use a particular process that we use. But do you find that you kind of cherry pick depending on the person?
The person I'm working with or the teacher?
Yeah, I suppose cherry pick the sort of modality that you bring into your sessions with depending on the client.
Not really, because it's all the same, right? So someone might have broken relationships. They might have, you know, IBS. They might have hair loss. They might have, you know, not be able to break past a certain amount of money that they make.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't really matter what circumstances or events are presenting in their life, because I got asked on another podcast, and the guy said, you know, who's your greatest teacher? You know, this is really profound. I said, my own fucking head, because I just listen to my own mind. And all the answers were in there. And so when I go into that, everyone's universal. I don't really mind about what's presenting for them, because I know what's going to show up after that's gone. Like, these are sort of defense mechanisms that people use, and they stay in the pattern. And so I did start to study. And I did a Bachelor of Integrative Psychotherapy, but it wasn't near deep enough for where I wanted to go. And I just made the decision that everything exists within, right? Our bodies, our spirit, our mind are our greatest gifts. If we can just get out of the own way, get out of our way of the mind, then we've got this access to this deep trove of information, wisdom, and knowledge that I still don't fully understand.
Mm.
But most people are trying to fix the mind with the mind, which is the thing that created the problem in the first place. So it's like, it's why it never really works, you know?
Yeah.
So everyone's fairly universal in their approach, you know? It's unconscious, subconscious, conscious, what's showing up in the body. There's a lot of ancient wisdom in there. Like typically people with, you know, digestion issues are going to be in a lot of fear. People with powerlessness are going to have problems in the solar plexus. Solar plexus is where the celiac nerve is. That's why people can't digest gluten, things like that. So there's chains to go down with it. But definitely the best has been my own work and my own research, for sure.
Yeah, that's so cool to hear. Do you attract a particular client?
It's so interesting. So I'll go through stages where most of my work is with sexual trauma in females, which is really beautiful because a lot of them have a deep distrust of men. Mm. And so to be able to come to a man where they can start to trust themselves again is a real gift. I remember one I was working with, she had a condition called vulvodynia, which I won't go into the details of it for the sake of the podcast, but it's like a burning of the feminine area. Yeah. She'd been trying for years to fix it, considering surgery, antibiotics, everything. And I just said, no, it's just too much heat. It's in your system. Burning represents heat. Yeah. And so we went through it, and she'd been attacked by her grandfather when she was 5 or 6 years old, and we only did 2 sessions together, and it had gone by like 95% because we opened up the origin of it. And the beautiful thing about it was I spoke to her not long after, and she said, you know, the biggest gift in working with you was not about getting rid of the vulvodynia or anything, but she goes, I learned to love myself for the first time, you know, which is really beautiful to be able to go down that path and be able to help someone from that aspect. And that's really what I'm trying to do. I'm just trying to remove what's in the way of all the self-doubt, the self-hatred, the self-loathing, the victimization, all of that, to realize the beautiful essence of what people are, which really is love. Yeah. That's why love feels so good, because that's our true essence, you know, it's our nature.
Yeah, it is our essence. And unfortunately, when we lack that, you know, it does manifest in that, like you say, that that loathing, not having self-worth and self-love.
And then we go on to
this. A lot of suffering.
Yeah, it's a lot of suffering. But the suffering is really just in the perception of what's going on for me, you know. And when we look at it from that point of I'm suffering because I'm having a conversation with myself, that's where it starts to become powerful. It's almost like not very satisfying, because it's, you're the one having the conversation that you've made up, that you're listening to, that you think isn't you. You know, and it just gets to this point that once you start to understand that, it becomes a lot easier to deal with life.
Yeah. Yeah. How about someone that can't seem to identify that they actually have an emotional trauma, or that there are certain beliefs where they're stuck in that's actually causing them to repeat certain patterns and behave a certain way? What if they don't even actually, it's not obvious to them?
Mm-hmm. There's sort of two ways to answer that. I'm just going to finish the last question you asked. Is yes, I'll get people that all have the same conditions at the same time. It's funny. Life will give me like 30 people that will be sexually traumatized or with arthritis or, you know, whatever, going through a divorce, whatever it is. So I'll kind of get these groups of people at the same time. I don't usually get people that can't self-reflect. You know, that would sort of generate down into, it has happened, and it sort of delineates into two things. One of them is the people that want to prove me wrong and say, well, I heard you're the guy that can fix anyone. You can't fix me. And I'll pick up on that pretty quickly. So I won't work with someone like that till they're ready. And the other side is if they're not able to be self-referential and realize that there is a part of themselves that is desperately trying to break free, I doubt they'd end up with me anyway. I'm usually the person people see when they've been in therapy for 10 or 20 years and they're sort of at the end of the rope and saying, I've tried everything, nothing fucking works. And that's sort of usually the people that I deal with. So they're ready, you know, and that's the people that I love to work with that are like, I'll do anything to change. And that's who I love to work with. So every now and then a few people will show up like that that I'll work with, because they'll come in under the guise of, yeah, I'll do anything. But when they're challenged with what they couldn't see, they might be like freaked out, or they'll, you know, they'll want to retreat because it can be very uncomfortable. You know, I remember one woman called me like an emotional pit bull. And so it's, you know, I do it with love, but it's, you know, I'm not here to sort of, I hold a space of like real deep love for the person, which is just full acceptance. But I'm not here to, you know, cuddle you through to satisfy your own problems and keep you there. I want you to break open and change, because you're going to change the world if you're in that frequency. And that's the sort of, that's the attitude I take.
Yeah, it does make your life easier when you're working with clients who are ready and committed.
Yeah. You have to be, I think, because it's, you know, once you get past the idea of yourself, you can start to live such an amazing life. I have so many people that I'll teach stuff to, because what I do is I'll give them one or two techniques. That's it. I don't really use techniques, because we break open the blind spots and then they're just fundamentally different. But people will be scared. They'll be like, I don't know who I am without my suffering. And that's the bridge that they need to get past.
Wow.
Yeah. It's disease identification, which is one of the more difficult parts that I work with, because when they see, there'll be such an expansion of it, and then they'll want to contract back into what's familiar, because what's familiar is safe, even if it's not working for them.
Yes.
This is the craziness of the ego and the spirit and the human condition. The people will literally do anything they can. What I say, and I wrote this a little while ago, is some people are so comfortable in their own discomfort, they'll do whatever it takes to make someone else wrong to be right about their own limitation.
Yeah.
And they'll do whatever they can to justify it, unfortunately. But that's their karmic path.
Yeah. Yeah, so true. Because you hear of those stories where someone might be in an abusive relationship, or they keep repeating a cycle of attracting a certain partner or relationship into their life. And yeah, it's repetitive. They just can't seem to break that cycle. It's because it's what's familiar to them, what's comfortable to them.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's unconscious, right? So it's, a woman's not walking into a relationship saying, I can't wait for this guy to abuse me. But on some level, there's a sense of self-abuse. Like, I'll take this away from domestic violence or anything, because that's a very sensitive topic, and I would never want a woman to think that I'm saying they deserve it or they've chosen that. Like, I don't want to go there. But someone with autoimmune issues, for example, right? And I work with this all the time. Our sort of the naturopaths and doctors and whatever say it's the body attacking themselves. But universally, if you listen to the way that someone speaks about themselves, they're going to be attacking themselves internally. And so the body is just going to reflect that, you know, and the body is, like, I believe, the subconscious mind. And if this conversation is going, I hate myself, you look at the word hate. An anagram for hate is heat. Autoimmune issues is too much inflammation in the body. Hate and anger and rage are the hottest emotions. So if I hate myself, it's going to create a lot of inflammation. The body's going to start responding to the psychological conditions that I place on it. The body's doing exactly what you are telling it to do. If you want it to jump, do up your shoe, eat some cereal, whatever it is, if you're attacking yourself, saying you hate yourself, your body's going to show that at some point. It's in perfect harmony with the conditions that you're actually providing for it.
Yeah.
But a lot of people want to give that away to an external source. And so it becomes this insidious mechanism where they feel that this powerlessness is like, I need someone to fix it for me. And that's part of it. You know, it's these situations that we can't seem to break, it's trying to fix it at the very end, which is symptomatic or behavioral, as opposed to going all the way back into the deeper parts of the unconscious and the subconscious and saying, all right, what trapped emotions are here that are actually creating the condition where I hate myself?
Yeah. Do you work somatically as well with people?
I work all over the phone, pretty much. Like, for every 100 people, I might get one person I do face-to-face. But what will happen is I don't specifically do somatic healing or anything.
Yeah.
But what will happen is when the awareness opens up within the mind, the body will respond and there'll be a flood of energy. So it's funny. Actually, one of my friends, she's a friend now. I did one session with her. We're working over a space of a week. Really chaotic thinking. And she rang me about 4 hours after the session. And she's like, Jack, there's something wrong. And I'm like, oh, yeah, what's going on? She's like, my brain, it's not working. And I said, oh, yeah, tell me about that. And she goes, I'm not thinking about anything. I said, yeah, it's called peace. And so it'll just break apart. The body will respond. The mind will respond. And people just feel a profound sense of peace that they haven't, because the mind, these limitations will just break. And it'll just be like, it'll just dissolve, and then it just doesn't come back.
Yeah. I love that feeling.
Yeah. It's beautiful, right? It's freedom.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, it's just freedom. And then it's like, oh, how didn't I see this before? And when you link it up, it's just this, this essence comes forward. And it's just beautiful to witness that. And it's why this work is amazing.
Yeah. I recently kind of was punishing my body recently, feeding it food that wasn't particularly good or serving my body. However, I just wanted to try this new way of kind of eating for my system to see how I'd react. Mm-hmm. But I tell you what, the wisdom of the body, as you refer to, is really powerful. And I was drinking caffeine again, and I never drink. I mean, I had this kind of hate relationship with coffee, but I was drinking coffee again. And I tell you what, you talk about the heating of the body and the agitation in my body, and then what actually the impact it had on me and my relationship with my friends and my partner was just, I wasn't myself. I wasn't at all at peace.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, coffee's, I mean, I don't mind having coffee in the morning because I write for 1 to 2 hours every day. But I know that agitated feeling, and quite often we seek that because it puts us into fight or flight.
Yeah.
And quite often what will happen is when we seek that, because it's so familiar, we've actually got repressed fear. So you'll find a lot of people that drink coffee a lot have been predisposed to some sort of anxiety prior to that because they've got repressed fear. So what happens is the nervous system, that's familiar, even if they don't like it. It actually, like, it makes your thoughts chaotic, right? So it's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, your thoughts will go off in a million different directions. There'll be fear and chaos and all this sort of stuff, but it's very subtle, you know? Yeah. It's not as powerful as, like, you know, having 6 tequila shots.
Yeah, I just became really unreasonable. I just couldn't reason with things, and I became really sensitive towards things. And my system is super sensitive anyway. I have a very super sensitive body and system. So anything like coffee, it just sets me over the edge. And look, even cacao can do that. So I'm really mindful usually, but I was like, no, I was kind of pushing. I really wanted to try this, you know, this keto way of being, and no better.
Yeah.
But it was exactly the reminder that I needed.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, you got to try things. Like I always say to people, you got to know what you don't want to know what you want.
Yeah.
You know, we live in a dualistic world. You know, it's like there's a beautiful saying Michelangelo said when he was asked about the statue of David. All his peers said, you know, how did you create like the perfect sculpture of man? And he goes, I didn't. David was already in the marble. I just took away everything that wasn't David. You know, and so it's about trying things, removing things. And I always say that the more you can remove out of your life, it's a process of removal. It's not a process about adding stuff in, because space is what we need. Space is harmony. Space is freedom. Space feels good. It's light. Mm. And so when we try things that don't work, we actually create space for something new to come in. So while you're trying the caffeine, trying this keto diet, which is probably really a reaction to something deeper where there's a little bit of probably self-judgment that you should be doing something other than what you're actually doing.
Yeah.
So then we start to get into the world of there's a lot of resistance towards that. And when I get somewhere in the future, there's going to be this idea that then I can relax and everything will be perfect.
Yeah.
And it's not a reality. You know, we're always going through things from a point of needing to change. Our society tells us that you've got to change. You've got to look better. You've got to be better looking. Your body has to be a certain way.
Yeah.
And then it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. So when we keep trying these things, eventually hit burnout, and then you figure out what actually does work for you. So it's I see that as more of a process of removal, which can be very beneficial. And then you learn the lesson. Like there's a lot of force in the way you're even saying that. You know, like pushing towards it, doing it. I've got to do.
Yeah.
You just got to be.
That's right.
Yeah.
I think going back to, I don't know if we really talked about it, like how can someone identify or get conscious that perhaps they have experienced trauma in the past and this is what they need to address, you know, especially with someone who might be very set in their way. Like I hope he doesn't listen to my podcast show anyway, but he's very set in his way. Like, you know, we've talked about some of the emotional trauma that he experienced from me as a child, like what I put onto him and how it really affected him at such a young age, and how I feel consciously deep down he hasn't really forgiven me for what I actually put him through. But he's like, no, like I can, like Sharon, don't be stupid, I forgive you for that, like that's way past stuff. Like, but I know
it's there as a trigger, mm-hmm. and I trigger him, and I do things that might trigger this trauma.
Mm-hmm. So it's a good question. So there's a couple of things in there, right, which is I always say to people, like, where do you get pissed off? There's the answer, right? Because if we look at someone, you know, if we notice, like, wherever that person has an issue, doesn't matter if it's you or someone else, they're always going to be there, right? They're the common theme in their life. So when we start to disown our own feelings and project it onto the world, that's the first part where it gets stuck. It's usually denial and projection. They reinforce each other emotionally. But on the other side is the level of forgiveness. Like, forgiving someone else doesn't help the other person. It helps you. And forgiveness, it's kind of like, I'm not a huge fan of it because it's like, even in the vibrational constraints of that word is, well, I'll absolve you of what you did when I feel like it's okay.
Right, right.
It's almost like a religious connotation that I see. I'd rather sit there and say, I've come into this life with my beliefs and my limitations and my karma, and you, my friend, are the mirror to hold that up to me to show me where I can find some freedom, where I can move past this. So I always say that acceptance is really what we want to get to. Acceptance is a much nicer word because acceptance really is love at the deepest level.
Yeah.
It really is. There's people, a lot of people ask me about love and they say, what do you think love is? And I go, it's just acceptance. That we can accept all the parts of someone else and say, you don't need to change. I mean, I was working with a woman recently and she was having relationship problems. And I said, do you love your partner? She goes, oh, with all my heart. And I said, could you love him without changing? And she goes, no. And I said, then you don't love him. What you love is the idea of who you think he should be to suit your expectations and demands. And you're in a relationship with those demands and expectations and concerns. You're not in a relationship with him. And she was just sort of like mind blown from it. But we need to look at those parts. Like, where do I get triggered? Where am I uncomfortable? Where do I feel the tightness in my body? Where's the pressure? Because that situation for him will show up somewhere else and again and again and again. And he'll keep bringing that in. This is the physics of it. So the physics vibrational component of that is going to attract that situation in again and again and again. And so while it might be about forgiveness or acceptance or whatever, and you might say, you put that on him, I think you said. No, no, you didn't put that on him. You didn't open up the top of his head and pour in a little jar of annoyance or a little jar of pissed off or a little jar of frustration. That's emotion that's trapped within him that is yet to be processed. Mm. And you are the gift that is showing him where that is actually trapped. And that's a beautiful process.
Mm.
That's a really beautiful process.
Yeah, but he's not willing to, I think, either confront or admit that.
Most people aren't. That's the thing.
I know.
Yeah, most people aren't. So the gift that you have is to sit there and go, well, this has got nothing to fucking do with me, right? Mm-hmm. I might have been some sort of reflection to help you learn. But when we see that we're all on our karmic journey, we all came here to learn stuff, right? When we see life as the ultimate teacher of the universe, whatever you want to call it, if he wants to keep blaming you, right, blame is actually a sense of powerlessness. If you think about it, I'm going to make you responsible for the way I feel. It's the same with being in love with someone, you know, in making someone else responsible. Now, obviously, people have some vicious things that happen to them, and we don't condone that or we don't reward that behavior at all. But nevertheless, like we can sit there and say, a lot of people sit there and say, oh, he's the guy that dissolves trauma. And I say, I don't dissolve trauma. I can't do that. I dissolve the energy or help you remove the energy that has been trapped because of the event that you would call traumatic. But if that leads you back to go back to the point of the woman I worked with, where you get to love yourself for the first time, and that is a crystallizing of your true essence, past the doing, past the having and into the being, that's a gift that most people never get to. So we can have compassion for other and we can have compassion for self. But when we have these activation periods of, you know, repressed emotion that wants to come out, I sit there and I'm like, yes, I get to work on something. I get to find some more love within me. This is teaching me love. Mm-hmm. This is teaching me acceptance. Mm-hmm. And that will be his lesson, is to accept that he's the common theme in his life and that you are the beautiful mirror to reflect back to him, an aspect of him that requires integration, acceptance, and healing.
Yeah. Mm. Beautiful.
Thank you.
I'll have to tell him to listen to this episode.
Send him to me. Send him to me. Listen, work together.
Yeah, yeah. We'll send him to you. Even better. Yeah, that's right. So how can I, or how can you, what would you suggest perhaps would be the first step for someone that recognizes there's some deep beliefs or conditioning around things due to trauma? They perhaps don't want to commit to seeing someone like yourself, but wants to start somewhere. What would be the first step for someone to kind of go down this journey?
First thing is, I'll always ask someone, I'll just keep going. Where does this feeling exist? Where does it exist? Where does it exist? A lot of people will say it's outside of themselves, but it's not. It's internal. So the first powerful thing we can do to really transform is we take responsibility for our own feelings. I remember I was working with a woman and she said, my husband's words, they just killed me. I said, so are you dead? And she's like, well, no, they just cut so deep. And I said, so did he write words on a razor blade and cut you with them? Do you need an ambulance? You're bleeding out? What's going on? And she's like, well, no. I said, okay, cool. So if he said it to you in Spanish, assuming you don't speak Spanish, would you even give a shit? And she's like, well, no, because I wouldn't understand it. I said, okay, so where's the feeling then? Where does it sit for you? And she's like, oh, it's within me. And I said, once we start to take responsibility for that, we don't justify abusive behavior by any stretch.
Yeah.
Leave if it's abusive, if it's continually abusive, leave the relationship. But nevertheless, the feeling is being activated within that person. So that's the first thing. Once we take full responsibility, we become powerful in every situation. We're not at the whim of circumstance and of life, right, of other people. That's the first thing. The main thing that I really enjoy doing with people is getting them to write out everything that they think others won't accept about them, and we start to embrace that. That's a really powerful technique, and I universally get people that are like, oh, I'm super uncomfortable doing this. And this is where we can start to address the trauma. This is where we can start looking at it, because what's happening in that is all these things that are uncomfortable, we call it shadow work or whatever it is. But these are the parts we need to embrace that we've become separate from. Carl Jung called it the golden shadow. So it's, we have our light, which is what everyone wants to see. And then we have our shadow, which are all the things we don't want someone to see. But then if we accept the things we don't want about ourselves, which produces acceptance, and that's love again, then we have a golden shadow healing, which is integration of that. And then you start talking to people about that. I was on a, with my current partner, when we're sitting down the first time we ever hung out, we just said, tell me all the things you think I won't accept about you, and we'll go from there. And I get men to do this when they go on a date. And the woman's like, whoa, what? Hang on, this is so different. And it's automatically creating intimacy. It's creating vulnerability, because you're really only vulnerable when you can be exposed. And when you're hiding something, you're exposed. So if you're okay with you, you can't really be rejected or hurt. It just doesn't work like that.
That's right.
And so this is a really powerful tool to sort of self-check in, to face these things you think you don't like about yourself, and just get it out to the world. Because the universal ones, I've lied before, I've cheated, I've stolen, blah, blah, blah. It's like, hell, good news for you. Fucking everyone's done that. And if they say they haven't, then they're lying anyway. Everyone's done it.
Yeah.
So these are the tools I get people to figure out what's going on. And, of course, where do you get pissed off? I mean, that's the most obvious one. It's, wherever you get pissed off or you get angry at someone, your partner might say something, that's exploration that is available to you to start going deeper into who you are. Because if it doesn't happen with them, it'll happen with someone else. And then it'll happen with someone else. I remember I broke up with an ex a while ago. Or she broke up with me, actually. And she was sort of renowned for burning everything down around her and taking off. And you just take it with you. And I said, you know how you burn everything down around you? She's, yeah. And I said, you're the spark. And I'll leave you with that. Because it doesn't matter if we run away, we change our environment, we shut down, we close off. We're always the common theme in our lives. And the beautiful thing about that is when we start to heal things and shift things energetically, new people show up. And they're usually a better version of people than had been previously showing up continuously, because your soul wants that.
Yeah.
So that's what I get people to.
Yeah. So powerful. That's beautiful. And I'm sure this is going to be really encouraging for people that may be in that position of, they're doing that self-inquiry and they know something's going to change, the repeating patterns and their beliefs, or, you know, they know there's trauma there, but they are too scared to confront and be with that side of them. Because, you know, any sort of trauma work, it is confronting.
Yeah. I even like start removing the labels, right? So, because what happens is when we have a word, we have an association with it. An association creates a feeling or a memory, and then it creates a stigma. So I even removed the word trauma, right? Because that word, it means wound. And if we're doing our trauma work, we're actually living in the space of the wound, right? Even though we're trying to get rid of it or remove it or whatever it is. The trauma happened a long time ago. It's not actually with you right now, but the trapped emotion and the programs that were generated and activated from that event are still with you now. So once we start to separate that, then yeah, there were some really difficult things. I've been through my own fair share. I just don't like people to sit in it anymore. And this is why it's difficult for people to write those lists of what's uncomfortable, because what happens is the ego or the mind will put it just out of awareness in order to maintain self-esteem. So quite often it's like everyone else can see it, but we've developed this idea of ourselves based on the ego to maintain its fragile state. And this is why people get so offended and triggered so easily. And so what happens is it's just put out of awareness. And so when we start to disidentify with labels, as an example, I tell anyone that if you think about the quality of an emotion, anything negative is just pressure. Sadness is pressure. Anger is pressure. Anxiety is depression. Grief is pressure. It's all pressure. When you feel it in the body, the quality of it, it's just pressure. Headaches are pressure. When you sneeze, it's pressure releasing the body. You know, when you need to go to the bathroom, it's a release of pressure. Anything difficult like that is just pressure. And when we sit there and we start to identify and say, hey, it's just some pressure, man, it's all good, rather than going, oh, it's like, you know, I've got this. Yeah, it's like, oh, this is my trauma. I'm so heartbroken. I'm so whatever it is. And we obviously have love and compassion for those people. But when we get down to the nuts and bolts of it, it's really unsatisfying, because all it is, it's just pressure. And you're like a little pressure cooker, and the triggers are setting the pressure cooker off so your body can release it, because it wants to be free and healed and open. And this is where dramatic healings come from, is that when someone can drop the judgment or the anger or the hatred towards someone. I was working with a woman that had really bad arthritis in both of her hands. And if we look at the quality of arthritis, it's inflammatory. So there's a lot of heat, right? So we unwound it, and she was angry at her mother for 5 decades or something. And what are the hands for? They're for holding on, right? So the arthritis, the anger that she's holding on to, is forming in the joints, and we join in life through relationship to her mother. And it was more prevalent in the left hand. The left side's more of the feminine side of the body. And so I worked through some stuff with her, and now the arthritis is pretty much gone, because it's not actually arthritis. Arthritis is a word, but when we get diagnosed with something, we become attached to it. Right, we say, oh, I've got this, I've got that. It's like, no, you've just got too much heat in your system, or you've got too much pressure somewhere. And so once we can start to separate from this idea, like, I'm so heartbroken, no, there's just some pressure in the chest. You still get the same situation, that the suffering around the story, which is, I'm so heartbroken, somebody left me. It's like, great, well, they've just taken everything with them that's unreconciled within you to release this pressure that has been there for a long time, which is why you attracted them into your life in the first place. And so it's breaking up with the version of themselves that's hard, not breaking up with the person.
Yeah, oh, juicy. I love it.
Yeah, and that's the pressure that comes up. It's just the sadness that hasn't been processed from when they're a little girl or a little boy, where their mother or father didn't love them enough, or they didn't matter, or they felt unloved or unworthy, you know, and that sticks around.
Mm. Yeah. Well, I'm assuming you've done a lot of your own personal work.
Yeah.
I don't know if you feel comfortable in sharing, but I would love to know, what are you working on at the moment in life?
At the moment, I want to get this out in the form of course. So I want to help people understand the deeper limitations that we have, right? So the deeper limitations, like, I'm not enough, I'm not wanted, etc., right? And how to link those up, which I'm still working on, to understand the nature of the human condition at the deepest level. You know, if someone feels like they're not enough, they're going to feel sadness and heaviness. It's going to stop them from making friends or wanting to get out there into the world. You know, things like that, and helping people to understand these chains that are there, and also what it's going to attract in. So things like people with, like I said earlier, guilt, they're going to bring in situations where someone's going to make them wrong or they're going to make them wrong, and then they're going to sabotage relationships, you know. Same with shame. People that have repressed shame are going to bring in really humiliating and embarrassing situations and respond with deep isolation and withdrawal, you know. So I want to get this out there so people can understand this and be able to free themselves, because I always say to people, I don't do anything. I just say some stuff.
Yeah.
But I just see the blind spot that people can't see, which then helps them to release the energy. It's really, it's fascinating, because it's just like, it's like a handcuffs on your mind and they just break open.
Mm.
And then that thought pattern doesn't repeat itself anymore. Yeah. And that's freedom, because it's like we're all in these sort of, you know, mind prisons and we're trying to get out of them. But we're the prisoner and the prison guard and we don't know it. And that's really what I want to get to people and to help them to understand that emotions are not necessarily real. It's just a feeling. And that feeling is pressure. And the more that you can sit with that and go into it, the easier and quicker that's going to release. And the byproduct of that will be healing.
Mm. Mm.
And I'm always working on myself, you know. It's like, yeah, always.
I think I didn't articulate myself very well. I was referring to you. What are you personally working on yourself?
At the moment, patience. Patience.
I put my hand up to that one too.
Yeah, patience. Yeah. We look at the construct of time, and, you know, with my partner at the moment, there's been some sort of challenging stuff, but it's always like we're going back in, because there's some external circumstances which are revealing to me some things that I hadn't yet fully addressed. And so that's really what I've been working on at the moment. And just to be more loving in that, to be so aware that, you know, it doesn't matter what comes in, that's an opportunity to love. It's an opportunity to love. And it's not even really to love, but it's really to remind me of the essence of love, which I already am. And so anything taking me away from that is a place where something has control over me, where I'm being given a beautiful gift or opportunity by the universe to be able to resolve that, which is for sure from my history.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a constant thing. I mean, I write for 2-3 hours every single day in the morning. I'm constantly analyzing my own mind. I'll get caught up in a conversation. Sometimes I'm like, oh, what's that? And reverse engineer it. And so that's, you know, it's a constant battle. But the biggest one I would say besides patience is to remember to see the magic in the world, because there's magic everywhere. And once you see it, you can't unsee it. And it's, you know, it's beautiful. And it's just even little things like getting into nature. I got a mini rainforest out the back of my place in Byron Bay that I live in. It's just sitting with the plants and just watching the lizards crawl over them and the spiders weave a web. And we live inside this divine tapestry that's such a mystery. And people are too fucking busy worried about what Louboutins or whatever they are they're wearing, or what handbag they're going to buy, or, you know, are they going to get promoted in 5 years to get somewhere, you know? And it's like there's so much magic around us and divine magic, and it's really just, you know, one of my quotes is, I came from a source of loving perfection to be liberated so I can become a source of loving perfection. And that's where I want to head to. So that's what I'm working on.
Beautiful. And if someone is interested in reaching out to you, wanting to work with you, I know, like I mentioned, I was referred to you on social media. So I will link all this up onto the show notes so they can find you. But anywhere else, apart from Instagram, like Facebook and things like that, or?
No, I don't use Facebook. I use Instagram and my website, which is Jaguar Heart, HEART, like anatomicalheart.co. Those two are pretty good.
Okay, cool. And is there anything else that you want to add or mention that I haven't covered today?
Whatever's like coming up in life is to show you something. That's what I really want to hit home with the point, because we're living in a world now at the moment with, we are not going back to normal, in my opinion. I don't believe we're going back to normal. I think this is a complete catalyst of a split of society, people in fear and people in love and want to stay sovereign. And reclaim ownership over self. Stop acquiescing our powers to situations, to stories, to government, to, you know, narratives of whatever it is, and just be free. Once you're free, just fucking love one another. Just love. That's it. You know, and if someone is being angry towards you, that is a gift to exercise love, and you'll feel so much better, and the world will just go to a different place. You know, I do believe there is an awakening going on the planet. I believe that's why people like yourself and like me here right now. I don't think this ends badly. I think like any sort of difficult facing our trauma, we're facing a collective trauma at the moment, which is one of war and famine and disgusting behavior like rape and objectifying women and children. And it's got to fucking stop. And it's only kind of going to come about by the complete birth of something new. We're not going to do it by changing the old. We got to do it by moving towards the new. The old is fear and guilt. The new is love and acceptance. So just love and accept yourself, and you'll see that start to show up in the world.
Yeah. Mm. So beautiful, Jag. Thank you so much. It's such a nice way to end the show.
Thank you.
I want to, extend my gratitude to you for coming here today and sharing your love and light to my audience and to whoever is out there listening and is resonating to all that you have covered today.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. You know, like I said, I don't do many podcasts, but I love the message that you're getting out there. And there's some simpatico there, and I really, really, really appreciate you and this. And I'd love to do another one.
Yeah, me too. Well, I'm going to be in Byron hopefully in July. So when I'm in Byron, I'll definitely hook you up and somehow connect with you in human face-to-face form.
Awesome. Yeah, that'd be good. We'll not go and have a coffee.
No coffee, maybe a chai latte. No, I like my chai. That's kind of my indulgent there.
Cool. I know a good place.
Oh, so good. I'll look forward to it. Thank you, beautiful man.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Pleasure. There you have it, folks. Another episode completed. I know that was worth the wait because that was such an amazing conversation with Jag. I'm sure so many great takeaways for you, and I would love to hear about it. I would love to hear what were some of the key takeaways that you got from this conversation. And write in, tell me. I would love to know, and I would love to share it to my audience as well. Yeah, as always, I encourage you to head to iTunes, leave me a rating, or leave me a review, because this does encourage me, this does support me in helping me get this content out to you all. You know, like I do, it takes a lot of commitment from my end, and I do sacrifice a lot to get this work out to you, because as you know, I don't have any sponsors. I don't really promote myself in the way that I should compared to some other shows that I follow, but I'm actually really satisfied with my audience. I know that I'm reaching out to a lot of people. When I say I'm reaching out, I'm making a huge impact with, to a lot of people out there who listen to the show, because I get your emails, I get your messages on Insta, I get your reviews, so I know that I am making an impact, and that does keep me going. But I also have felt into lately, it's time to take it to the next level. So stay tuned. I'm not sure how I'm going to do that, but I will. And any guidance from anyone who's really big and, you know, I don't know what you call it, PR type work with this, you know, this show, I'm up for listening. I'm all ears. I would love to hear from you. On that note, guys, have a wonderful week ahead. Please stay safe. Keep shining your love and light to those that need it. And as always, lots of love to you. Bye.